We're going to begin with praise on page 166. 166 is not a song we're familiar with that much, so we may struggle with it. So thankful that you chose to come and to worship and to praise him one more time. Amen. I'm amazed at people that tell me they love God and how they have no intention or no desire to praise him. I marvel at that. Amen. And I still believe that if God brought you from where he brought me, I don't believe you'll have a problem with it. Amen. I was on my way to hell, and he found me. And he purchased me, and now I should be his. That's just a simple truth, amen. All right, we have our new treasury report, where your money goes, and that will be up front. We have at least one per family. We encourage you to get it. We are an independent Baptist church. We do not give our money to a mission, to the cooperative program, because that is nothing more than providing a way to spread translations.
Yes.
Amen. I've heard people say, well, 90% of what you give goes to mission work in the Southern Baptist Convention, but the church I candidated at told me differently. They had a missionary come through, which is very rare for a Southern Baptist church, period. And the guy wanted a trumpet, and so that little church took up money to buy him a trumpet. He said trumpet cost $119. This is what the church told me. Okay, so I don't know. This is what they told me. They said he come back later. He come back through the church, and they said, "What's it like to have a trumpet?" He said, "Don't know. Ain't got the money to buy one yet." They said, "We give you the money to buy one." He said, "Here's what he said. We've got $19 of the 119." That's what he said. Where'd the rest of it go? Amen. I know where it went. And so I said, and that's why that if I take this church, the first thing you will do before I agree to pastor, you're going to get out of that garbage. Amen. How many think that's cruel? You're going to get out of the garbage if you want me to pastor. I'm not going to give my money to a bunch of heretics. Amen. I'm not going to give my money to a bunch of secular schools with a Baptistic name.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. All right, I done killed this service. Let's go to page 19. Page 19. This is one of my favorite hymns.
Thank you.
give as God has given to us. I've been pastoring for a long time now. The way people give is the way they view God. That's the way they give. Amen. And we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. We're going to sing one more song, and I want to preach on the thought today. I want to do my part. I want to do my part. So that'll give you a little bit. Let's go to page 246, and we're going to sing. It should be the theme of every church: alive, redeemed. Let's sing it. Like eternal security to me. If you will, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Church as we know it, our country as we know it, we're in a great conflict. Today, as a whole, we want church without God. That's what people want. God is not their life. He's a part of their life. Amen. I would have loved in my life, and there's still a chance, I would love to have seen a move of God one time in my life. I've seen people get excited. I've seen churches grow, but I've never seen a move of God. I've been to many meetings, but no revivals. And we need God. Amen. Proverbs 14, you there? Say amen. We're reading from the King James Bible. Amen. I believe every other one ought to be thrown away.
Amen.
Throw it away. It's no good. Amen. I don't want to be a preacher that tries to find out what the pew wants. I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I believe I have in my hand the infallible, inerrant Word of the living God. It is forever, forever settled in heaven. You cannot love the living Word if you do not love the written Word. Amen. The living Word changes not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The written Word is forever settled in heaven. It does not change. There is a curse, and there is a penalty for changing the Word of God. Amen. I believe all Scripture is written by inspiration of God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I want to preach on the first part of that verse, which I've never heard preached. I've heard preached sin is a reproach, but I've never heard that righteousness exalteth the nation. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, I ask for your help. I pray you'd help us to preach with passion, with power, with unction. I ask, Lord, your will be done. You know the heart of every person here today. You knew who would be in attendance. And God, I ask that you'd meet the need of every heart that's here. If there be one that's lost, I pray, God, that you would convict the heart of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. If there's one that's cold and indifferent, we pray, God, that the embers of the fire will burn again in the soul. We've asked you to meet with us, God, and I believe you desire to meet with us if we're willing to meet the condition that you have. I ask that your will be done now, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Joshua said in 24 verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, that's where we're at in the Laodicean church age, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Where the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it's fascinating in that passage. We all know that passage. We've all heard that passage. Probably you heard a dozen messages on that passage. But one question that I would ask is they were going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood. Isn't that amazing? The Scripture gives that. Mary, that's back before Noah built the ark. You see, the devil hasn't changed. He is the same. His goal is to steal the hearts and affections of men, women, and children away from the true and living God. He will let you focus on anything you desire to focus on if he can steal your heart away from God. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 42, as a heart panteth after the water, my heart panteth after thee. Every hunter knows that you can kill a deer if you can find the water source and the food source, because they're going to eat.
He said, as the hart panteth after the water, risk his life, set in that pattern. The psalmist said, so my heart and my soul panteth after thee. I'm going to tell you, that's a great desire for God. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Would it be fair to say in most of our lives we want God when things are not going well? And we're okay if they get better. And we may give God the glory for it, but let me ask you, do we want God when things are going good? Psalms 84, I think I will turn to there and read it. Psalms 84, verse 1 and 2, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart, and I want you to notice this phrase, this has always been a marvel to me, and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I think my heart is cried out for God, but I don't know about my flesh. The flesh is weak. Righteousness exalteth a nation. If America, and I know our president run on that term, and I'm not thrilled with some of the things he's doing, amen, I think he may be like me and may have dementia or something. Amen. But America will never be great morally, financially, or anything else as long as we carry our path away from God. Amen. America's in spiritual trouble. Our prisons are filled to capacity, and it doesn't look like there's any daylight ahead. One institute today, which was pro-abortion, is really concerned because in 2024, we only murdered 1,038,100 clinical provided abortions in states without total abortion bans. I want to say America is going to have to give an account of the bloodshed she has shed over babies. And I'll show you how foolish we are. We will spend untold amounts of money to keep a killer alive. And untold amounts of money to destroy those who've never committed a crime. Abortion is murder. Amen. I think the ones that's protesting for it ought to be aborted. Amen. It's much safer on everybody if you abort them once they're out of the womb. Wonder why we don't want to abort those on death row. Amen. Y'all okay with that? Murder's down. There's only 5.9 homicides per 100,000 persons that are reported. Only. And that's what the statistics said. There's so much cover-up among our government officials that I don't believe anything they say. Amen. I do not believe China was the one that killed Americans with COVID. I believe it was our government. From Obama to Fauci. You okay with this? Our homes are being destroyed. Out of the 1 million babies born, I wonder how many were illegitimate. Most of the people today probably would only want to keep a baby to get another check. Our homes are in trouble. In Alabama, there are over 6,000 children in foster care without one convicted crime on the parents. See, me and my wife, we were blackballed from foster care because here's what I said. If a child is removed from any home, there should be enough evidence to prosecute the parent. And here's what I was told, we don't prosecute anymore. Amen. We had a little girl that had sexually transmitted disease. She was 5 years old. I offered to fix it for nothing. I did, Jeff. The social worker said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to his house. I'm going to tie him down. I'm going to castrate him. She said, you can't do that. I said, I believe I could. Well, that wouldn't be right. I said, so it's right for him to abuse a 5-year-old girl? Help me with this. Amen. I promise you, if I'd have went and done it, none of his buddies would have even thought about doing it. We're in trouble in America. Righteousness exalteth the nation. How can we get righteous? Got three things. So y'all hang on. We're going to give them to you, and then we're going to let you take a break. Number one, we're going to have to return to the King James Bible. We have the eternal written Word of God in our King James Bible. The old Baptists believed that it was the sole authority for faith and practice. In other words, everything we know about God is found in that book. You can't trust a vision because pizza can give you a vision. We need the Word of God. We need to take that old black book and we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to do it and apply it to our lives. It's not enough to tote it. It's not enough to throw it in the back window of a car. I mean, we need to digest it. It needs to be in us where it can come out of us. We need a return to that book. Not what that book means to us. Not what we think it says. We just need to be in complete obedience to that book. I'm going to tell you, Israel was never righteous without the law. And what you're going to notice through the Bible, when the law was read, when the book was read, revival began. In America, the Reformation period was fueled to go back to the Bible. Martin Luther, which was a Lutheran, possible Martin Luther wasn't even saved. He believed that salvation was through baptism. Infant baptism. Martin Luther. I could tell you some other things. I can let you look them up. Here's what he did say that was right. Sola Scriptura. The Bible alone. If America's going to get righteous, we got to get back to the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, if you was to go to all the churches within a probably 20-mile radius, you'll find a very few that are King James. Very few. I had one preacher tell me, that's what I use. I said, why you use it? He said, because I was taught that people like it better. Huh? Years ago, when this church was started, we had a King James Bible conference. I invited every pastor in this county personally. All denominations to come hear the difference. Not one pastor come, not one church member from another church, and by the end of the week, most of the people that were members of this church would not come. I know why. That King James Bible kicks. It's alive. Amen. It'll show you where you're wrong. Amen. You won't have great self-esteem when you read that Bible. But I tell you what you will get. You'll get Christ esteem. He'll be high and lift it up. Amen. We got to get back to the Bible. You see, in America, we're kind of like Hindus. We want to just add it to our life. And now we have whatever kind of Christianity you want. Amen. We have cowboy Christianity. I could go on that for a while. We have motorcycle Christians. Huh? Y'all may keep going. We have homosexual Christians. Huh? We have shack-up Christians. Come on now. Whatever you want, we've added Christianity to it, and that's the same lie that Catholicism put in. I'll tell you what you want here, biblical Christians. Huh? If we're going to be righteous, we got to be scriptural. And we can't be scriptural without that book. Come on now. You don't know anything about God without that book. Amen. It was preaching from that book that showed me where I was at. It was preaching from this book that taught me how to live. It was preaching from this book that showed me that the path was narrow. And the gate, singular, is straight. This Bible will tell you everything you need. But it's not going to tell you everything you want. And I want to say we have all these new translations. We have all these churches. because they don't want the God of this book. Years ago, a fella professed to get saved. I was dealing with him. I do not believe he was saved at all. He professed to get saved in this church. Okay. I gave him the example when David sinned, God took David's child. Here's what he told me. I want anything to do with a preacher like you, and I don't want anything to do with a God like that. Now, y'all tell me, y'all think he is saved? And when he died, a preacher preached him into heaven. I still remember he said he was a Christian, he just wasn't a good one. I'm sorry. Amen. That's an apostate preacher. That is a heretic at his best. By the way, I saw that preacher the other day. He called me brother, but I didn't return the thing. We got to get back to this book. Y'all agree with that? Right here. Right here. Open it up. Black and white. It's settled. Amen. We ought to do what it says do. We ought to not do what it says not do. If there's a question about it, don't do it till you get the answer. Simple. Today, if a preacher preaches something, doctrine, if he preaches on lifestyle, if he preaches on the home, people leave and find a church where they want. Amen. We need to get back to the book. Amen. We're in trouble in America. We're in trouble in our churches. Number one, return to the Word of God. Number two, this is pretty easy, return to the will of God. Amen. Y'all okay with this? How many of you believe we ought to be in the will of God? Simple, isn't it? In Acts 13:22, God said, when he had removed him, he raised up unto him a man after his own heart. And here's what he said, which shall fulfill all my will. Speaking of David, the psalmist that we read talked about the praise and worship of God, but the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? Number one, the will of God is for people to be saved. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should be lost. But all should come to repentance. My Bible tells me he tasted death for every man. It's God's will for people to be saved. It's God's will for us to act like we're saved. Come on now. I get so tired of people talking to me about loving the Lord and then cursing on the next sentence. Huh? Come on now. Some of them even bold enough to call it French. Well, if that's French, I don't want to learn that language. It sure sounds like cursing in American. Amen. Now, by the way, I can speak French. Oui, oui. Yeah. We're talking about the will of God. We sing the songs in hypocrisy, "Have thine own way, Lord," and never intend it. Now we're going to get to meddling. We say we love the Lord, but we're unfaithful in attendance. Y'all ain't saying much now. He tells us to bring the tithes to the storehouse on the first day of the week. Amen. I had a Seventh-day Baptist tell me one time, said, "I tell you what, the Bible says that we're to worship on Saturday." I said, "Well, you got to come twice a weekend, don't you?" He said, "What you mean?" I said, "Because you're supposed to bring your tithe on Sunday, first day of the week." "What do you mean?" Huh? Amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, if you're wondering. Amen. We say we love God, we don't tithe. We say we love God, we don't come. We say we love God, and we don't witness. Huh? I remember old Steve, and I miss him so much, I probably missed him more in the past 2 or 3 months. Old Steve used to tell me, said, I hated to see you coming. He said, "Every time you come, you told me I was going to fry in hell." He said, "I'd hide from you to keep from seeing you." I'm going to tell you, the average church member fits in so much with the world, they ain't no difference. Huh? Amen. Had one fella come in co-op one day, had a shirt on and his shorts and all that garbage, and he said, "You'd be amazed at the people that witnesses to me." I said, "Well, that's probably a good thing. I'll just be honest with you. I ain't had many people witness to me." Come on now. He's saying they witnessed him every day. That's what he said. I've had them ask me to turn around where they could tell a joke to one of the other Christians there. Huh? Had one say, "Let's go play golf Sunday." I said, "I don't play golf on Sunday." I said, "Sunday's a day of rest. I need one. I'm old." Amen. I like rest. I like naps. Amen. I believe they're spiritual experiences. Amen. He said, "What do you do on Sunday?" I said, "Rest." I said, "I'm not saying that if a water leak took place, I wouldn't fix it. But I ain't going out to chase no ball through the woods and all the ticks, because I promise you, David seen me play. I'd be in the woods, wouldn't I, David?" Yeah. Amen. I remember telling Brother Dale one time, Barry, when we was playing, he said, "You know, they have a fairway you're supposed to hit it in." I said, "Anybody can hit it out of a clean field. But when you can nail it through the trees, you're good." Amen. We're talking about the will of God. We ought to be in the perfect will of God. Every one of us has people we love that's going to die and go to hell. You better live close enough to God that you can reach them. Righteous exalteth a nation. You got to live in a way that your words mean something. We live in a nation where words don't mean anything. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll be there someday. That's about the way it is, isn't it? Amen. How many of y'all's ever waited on somebody that had, gave you a time when it's going to be there? No show. Words don't mean anything. Amen. Words don't mean anything. Folks, we're talking about the will of God. I wonder how many of us this morning are in the perfect will of the living God. Few in our generation are totally surrendered to the Lord. We're a generation that loves to give God the leftovers. We've got an easy path that doesn't cost us anything. None of us is going to lose our heads for coming to church today. Maybe. It's been so easy and we've got so comfortable and we've been so slack that we're no longer concerned about His will. I was reading about prayer one time after a guy, and here's what he said. He said, the average prayer now in the American church is trying to get our will done in heaven instead of God's will on earth. We got to get back to the will of God. Amen. The will of God is not an easy path. Jason taught about the windows in the Bible. Let me ask you, son, were them guys that had to escape for their lives in the will of God? Every one of them. Was all them people listed in Fox's Book of Martyrs in the will of God? Yeah, they were trying to do the work of God. Amen. I wonder how many of us would risk everything to get God's will done. It's a good question, isn't it? We talk about veterans that gave it all, but I want to tell you there's a lot of saints that gave it all. Amen. They were hated by the world. The world doesn't really hate the church anymore because the church is the world today. Well, we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to get back to the will of God. Here's number three. It's the last one. It's the one you've been waiting for. We need to return back to the work of God. Amen. Our churches in America today, the modern church, is built on music, not preaching. It's an entertainment. Amen. God chose, Paul said, the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. Preaching. Preaching in America has declined in my lifetime. The first church I preached at was not an independent Baptist church. It was a church that had been destroyed by a charismatic preacher. when I went to preach for them, and I made it clear I had no interest in pastoring the church. I was not ready to pastor. I knew that. I did enjoy preaching. And they were having a special event. A watch night service. Amen. I used to like them. Since I go to bed early now, I'm not as fond of them. Amen. And they said, we're going to have a singing. And we're going to have a lot of people. I have to confess, there was a lot of people in that little church. But me, being so mean and cold, I told them, I said, if y'all do something stupid, I'm going to preach. If I'm going to drive all the way over here, you do something stupid, I'm preaching. I thought that was fair. They needed that warning. I go over there and the group was singing. The guys had hair longer than my wife. I said something. Matter of fact, I asked one of them, I said, where you go to church at? He said, we don't go to church, we just sing in churches. I said, whew, not good. But I'm going to be nice. Then they done something else stupid. That's two strikes. And then when Santa Claus come in, three strikes, that meant it was my time. Amen. And I preached. One of them members told me, Barry, she said, I tell you one thing, I'm glad you're not my pastor. You just killed the whole service by preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. We'd rather have a play, we'd rather have a cantata, we'd rather have something that will draw people's hearts away from the preached word of God. Amen. You know, a guy told me one time, said, our churches, it's so spiritual right now, we ain't had preaching in a month. I said, boy, the devil's got it, don't he? Huh? Come on now. Amen. Preaching. We don't like preaching. We like teaching. And now all the big guns, they said, teacher, pastor. Amen. I believe there ought to be some teaching and preaching. Bless God, there ought to be some preaching. There ought to be some teaching and preaching, but there ought to be some preaching and teaching. Amen. Yeah, preaching's what draws the line. You got to make a choice. Teaching illuminates. We're all about being wise. I'm just going to say this right now. This dumbest generation's ever lived. Amen. The next time I hear about a caveman being dumb, I'm going to say, y'all just come to America. I get my kicks off every afternoon watching a college graduate count money. I'm like, it's a marvel. I told my manager, and one day he's going to be teaching your kids. She said, over my dead body. He has just graduated from college. And he can't count money. Amen? Come on now. And parents are spending thousands upon thousands of dollars to send their children there. Huh? Let them learn a trade. You want to see money? Become a plumber. Become an electrician. Amen. And we get our ranger back tomorrow. Become a mechanic. Amen. If you want to see real money, learn a trade. You'll work yourself to death because ain't nobody else doing it. Everybody else believes you're going to sit on a computer and make millions of dollars. I'm going to tell you, when the power goes off, that computer is... Amen. And this generation's so dumb. Here's all you got to do. You got to go into a business, turn the breaker off, and they'll have to pay somebody to turn it on. We're talking about the work of God. We don't like work. Amen. Even this church, we used to have things we done, outreaches. It's not because we can't do it. It's because it's not worthwhile doing no more. The work of God. To the average church member today, all across America, the only contribution that is given is attendance. We no longer pray for our church. We're no longer interested in serving the church. And I have the answer. We're more interested in God serving us than us serving God. Righteousness exalteth a nation. We ought to get back and return because we've left it, the Word of God. We ought to go back because we've left it the will of God. And we ought to return because we left it the work of God. How do we get there? Well, the Bible tells us. It's such a good book. In Revelation chapter 2, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, I remember your first works, what you used to do. He said, but you left your first love. Am I right? That's what it says. You left. God didn't leave us. We've left God. Then he says this, repent and do your first works. Am I right? Repent, he's telling the church, and do your first work. We want the world to repent, and we're not willing. Today, in the Independent Baptist movement, we've changed the definition of repentance. My definition of repentance is repentance is a change of mind which produces a change of heart. Amen. Our kids used to say when they got in trouble, and I've heard some parents recently tell me that they'd never had to discipline their child. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what I thought. Amen. One of them said, "Preacher, what about you just taking them?" I said, "Oh no, that would be their worst nightmare. And mine." Amen. Now my daughter told me, said, "God knew you was a lousy parent. That's why they didn't give you children." Amen. Probably am. But we had rules at our house. Daddy was in charge. By the way, Father's Day's next week. We're going to have to change that to Shem's Day. All these weak-kneed, yellow-backed daddies. "What do you want? Huh? What do you want?" Amen. I'm thinking he wants you to be a man, you're not. We're talking about the work of God. By the way, the work of God is for the man to be head of the home. Amen. We got to return. Let me ask you three questions, and we're going to take a break. Question number one, how do you feel about your Bible? When you read it, does it move you? Is it special? Is it a time that you covet, that you can then spend time with God? Question number two, are you really concerned about the will of God in your life? Or do you just want the blessings of God? Question number three, are you interested in the work of God? Are you interested in the work of God? Could we be honest today and ask ourselves, what are we really doing for God? By the way, that's our reasonable service. Righteousness exalteth a nation. If America is going to be great, America is going to have to be good. We're in trouble in America. I hope today that you will purpose in your heart that you're going to make a difference. You may not change the world, but if you can change one person, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Now, I have preached what God laid on my heart. We need righteousness. Righteousness can only come from Him. Not what we do. From Him. That's up to us. It's up to us. You say, what if I start and I fail? Well, if you start, you will fail. But then you get back up and you start over again. It was said about Alabama's coach one time that he is watching some high school kids play ball. And another coach was with him. And they had a superstar that was playing that on that high school team. And, he come one-on-one with a boy and knocked him down. The boy got up. They done it again. He knocked him down again. The boy got up. And the other coach that was with Paul Bear Bryant said, that's pretty interesting. 7 times that one fella got knocked down. Paul Bear Bryant said, I want that guy. He said, I don't blame you. He knocked him down 7 times. He said, no, I want the one that got up. He said, there ain't no quitting him. Amen. I don't want the one that can just do the big thing. I want one that's going to be dependable. He's going to get up. That's what God wants in us. You going to fall? Yes. You going to make mistakes? Yes. There's only been one perfect. You're not it. Amen. By the way, David was a man after God's own heart. Was David a perfect man? He done things that none of us would even dream of doing. He committed adultery. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed to cover it up. But he is a man after God's own heart. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to have a heart for God. And I think deep down we all know we should have. Because his heart was for us. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? Aren't you glad he didn't say it's not worth it? He went all the way. Father, as we come to you today, I preach what you've laid on my heart. And that's up to us. Lord, I pray that you would stir my heart. You would challenge me to be a man that would bring honor and glory to you. I pray there'll be others here that'd be willing to make that choice also. I pray, God, your will be done in this service. For it's in Jesus' name.